That sounds good. Nice, easy Saturday morning for all of our Arizona homeowners. Here with Rosie on the house. Jamie's called with a remodeling project that he's not even sure where to get started. So we were in the middle of talking our way through that, and I was encouraging him to get to the website and find Rosie's How to Choose a Contractor Consumer Guide. It'll lead you through these steps, and I'm just covering them with him real quick. Step one is you let the contractor come to your house. Let them ask lots of questions. Let them take lots of pictures. Take a lot of measurements. And remodeling contractors from Miami, Florida, to Seattle, Washington, from San Diego, California, to Bangor, Maine, hate Rosie Romero for this one reason. If your remodeler that you're talking to ask you what's your budget, don't say a word. Don't answer that question. Just look them in the eye and say, well, let's talk through the project. You should have enough local experience once we finish visiting here to at least give me a range. Let them tell you what the investment level is going to be. Do not answer their question, what's your budget?
And just know, whatever you say your budget is, it's probably 20 to 50% more than what you have in mind.
Oh, you know, invariably, when I finish visiting with people the first time, I try and give them a range right there. I say, you know, in my experience, for this kind of a project, in this neighborhood, we're going to be between X and Y. And they say, well, we thought we'd be about half that. And that's invariably. But it's the only objective way to get to that investment level, okay? You give them your budget, and they're going to want to please you, and they're going to try and wiggle and squirm and cut and reduce and do whatever they can to make something fit close to that. And that's not the way you want to get a project started or done. Okay, so never answer that question. At the second visit, they may ask you to come to the office. You know, we have some selections laid out, and you can kind of pick what cabinet and what countertop and what plumbing fixture you want. And that's a good call. That's a great place to just see how they operate. How neat and clean is the warehouse where they store stuff? How neat and clean is the office? While you're there, ask them to see their scheduling software. You know, am I the only job you're going to have, or do you have 15 superintendents with 40 jobs going at one time? And if you're that big, that's great. I just want to see how you manage your resources. Don't be afraid to ask to see the scheduling software. Don't be embarrassed or shy to ask about their accounting program. Make sure they're going to be able to keep track of the money as it comes and it goes. The third visit really needs to be out on one of their ongoing jobs. So you've met them at your house. You've met them either at your house the second time or at their office or wherever. The third time, you want to meet them on a job and take a look and see how clean it is. See if you can find the homeowner. Ask them this question. There's no remodeling project that doesn't come with surprises, okay? Every project has a surprise. What you want to know is the person you pick, are they available when the surprise hits you? Ask the homeowner, how available is this contractor? Has he been answering his phone when you need him? When the tub showed up in the wrong color, was he available to talk through it and solve it? Once you interview these three or four contractors, three different times, you're going to find out that they start eliminating themselves. You don't have to even eliminate them. One of them shows up late to an appointment, strike their name off the list. If they can't show up on time for an appointment, they are never going to be able to keep your project on time. I absolutely guarantee, promise that. And if their truck is a mess and their tools are a mess and their office is a mess, your job is going to be a mess. Okay? So there's the basic guidelines on picking a contractor. You know, when it's all said and done, let's say two of the guys made it through the screening process and you've got two detailed contracts on your table. The contracts ought to state exactly every single thing that's going to be done. We are going to set up the masking and the dust protection walls here. We're going to set the J-John there. We're going to set the security fencing here. The dumpster's going to go there. We're going to remove this amount of sheetrock. We're going to remove this amount of insulation. We're going to saw cut here. And it ought to detail every single thing. But the most important thing on a contract is, what aren't they going to do? Ask them to list on the contract what's excluded. That will force a conversation for both of you to reach a deeper understanding on what this project does and doesn't involve. And then when you are down to the bottom of picking it, close your eyes and forget the dollars on the contract and say, okay, the first day something goes wrong on this job, which one of these two guys do I want walking up the sidewalk to take care of it? Maybe we didn't pass an inspection. Maybe that bathtub did show up in the wrong color. And we, you know what? We had to wait 8 weeks for it to get here. Now what? Huh? So who do you trust to handle the job once some little thing has gone wrong? Now, Jamie, that is about as a thorough coaching mentoring program as I can give you on picking a contractor. But if you follow those rules, I'll all but guarantee you'll have a successful experience. And I tell people, every hour you spend interviewing your contractor will be a week you save going through heck on a bad job later down the road.
Thank you.
Okay, man.
Can I ask a quick follow-up question?
Absolutely.
Okay, so, and is your recommendation then, I mean, I think we know what we want to do with the house. We don't necessarily have the design laid out.
Okay.
Is your recommendation that we go to the general contractors first without a design, or do we need to go get design documents and start working with a residential designer or an architect before we engage general contractors?
Generally speaking, I would tell you, find a general contractor that operates under design build, okay? And in design build, they're designing it, they're building the budget, and they're building the project. That tends to be the highest degree of success. If it's a complicated design or you have something very particular in mind, maybe get the names of two or three great architects. But if you do that, don't let the architect draw something without you picking a contractor. If you go to an architect for the design, have your contractor already picked, and have the contractor at every meeting and have him keep the project in your comfort investment level. Very often, homeowners will go to the architect, they'll get something designed, the architect will tell them you can get this done for $10. They go out on the street, they put it out to bid with three or four contractors, and the lowest bid they get is $15, $16, $18, or $20. And so now all the money, we're starting a job next week. A man spent $15,000 on blueprints that we literally crumbled up, put in the trash, redesigned everything to fit his comfort investment level.
That's a pretty nice kitchen cabinet option there. $15,000. Oh,
wow.
So start with design build contractors. But if your project is dealing with a particularly sensitive architectural design, a particularly sensitive historic home, you have something very particular in mind, then I would say, you know, there's several architects in town we really like working with. So that's it. It's really up to you, Jamie. Find out the guys, take a look at their work and see if you're comfortable. If you're not, then go to the architect route. But make sure you go to the architect route with your contractor in your pocket. Okay, man.
My estimate to replace my home in Pella windows was $17,000. At least I have something for that. $15,000 on blueprints you just burnt.
Right.
Threw away.
Right.
Oof.
Yeah.
Ow.
And you know,
I can deflate a project before you even get started.
Well, it detoured this particular project for about a year and a half. You know, I had to kind of recover there. So there you go. That's picking a contractor. It's not. Remodeling is not a science. It's an art. You're not getting your remodel done in a factory where they just drop off, bring it to you finished and drop it off. They're going to be working around you, your family, your personal property, your possessions, your pets. They're going to be invading your privacy all hours of the day. The last thing I forgot to tell Jamie is once you sign the contract, I try and tell homeowners all the time, once you sign that contract, you set up a time that you're meeting that contractor every week. I'm going to meet you at 7 a.m. every Wednesday on this job, and we're going to talk about what happened last week, what's happening today, what's happening next week, are any decisions on my part needing to be made? Do you know the medicine cabinet that I've picked out? Do you know the plumbing fixtures I've picked out? Are they ordered? Are they going to arrive on time? Meet weekly and take notes, minutes, agendas. Type them out. Make everybody sign them. You wonder how to keep a job on time? Make that contractor meet you every single week, the same time of the day, and ask the same questions. There you go. Let's squeeze another call in here real quick. We've got Mike and Matt. I think Matt's been holding the longest. Let's go to Matt. Hello, Matt.
Good morning, Rosie Romy. How are you guys this morning?
Good. Really super morning, isn't it?
Oh, it's a beautiful morning. Oh. It's the one that gives us hope that the summer's over.
Amen, baby. Amen, baby.
Hey, I've got a question. I have a hybrid water heater that is about 2.5 years old. And a couple months ago, when I would get up in the morning, I had no hot water. And I went out to the there was no power going to the water heater. I went out to the electrical panel, which is about 3 or 4 years old. So it's a newer electrical panel.
Okay.
And the water heater was turned off. It happened during that week, maybe two times a day or so, where it would just the panel would just be turned off.
The breaker for the water heater would be thrown.
Correct.
Okay, and it's not thrown all the way to off. It's just in the safety position.
No, it's thrown all the way to off.
Okay. All right.
And so I, well, maybe it's a neighborhood kid messing with my electrical panel, which seemed really weird that they would be turning the heater off.
Yes.
So I put a lock on it. It happened one more time, and I took the lock off. And then it hadn't happened for about a month and a half. And then just the other night I went out, looked, and there was no light on the water heater. And sure enough, I went out to the electrical panel, and it was thrown in the off position again.
Wow. Doesn't
so
make...
I don't know.
I suspect that dog. He sounds like a troublemaker.
I tell you what, Matt, hang on. I'm going to have to reach out to an electrical. We'll go an electrical lifeline here. I'm not familiar with a breaker that once it's blown... blows all the way to the off position. It has to be manually pushed to the off position. But we're going to get an electrician on the line and verify that. Maybe there's a breaker I'm not familiar with.
Or an extreme case of it wiring wrong and something screws happening.
I don't know.
Strange things can happen.
The off position is the mysterious situation in that story right there. Very, very peculiar. Oh, all right, we're going to go on a little break. We'll be back. Rosie on the house.